damnation steals your confidence. If you get one thing today, I'd like you to get this. What other people say about you shouldn't matter. Shouldn't impact you. Because Isaiah 54:17 said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you, judgment shall be condemned. It's what you say about you that really matters. Amen. I hear a lot of Christians saying, I'm so dumb. I can't do this. I'm a failure. Quit it.
Quit it. Amen. That's good counsel.
1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. This is very simple. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How do you debate that? Can't. See, that's why I said Jesus left nobody neutral. You're either for him or you're against him. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not hope so, that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And here it is. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Because you believe in Jesus Christ, he hath given you eternal life. Because you believe in Jesus Christ, you can operate in confidence toward God. Isn't that true? When you receive Jesus, righteousness is imparted unto you. He's made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So no longer should you be calling yourself a worm. Well, Pastor, that's how I feel. What's your feelings have to do with the word? Get your feelings lined up with the word. The only time you ever say that you're a worm is around other believers in church. If you was going down to a supermarket and doing your grocery shopping and someone called you a worm, you'd be fighting. You get confidence in God. You get boldness in God. You have access to the throne of grace in God. To have access. Are you there in 1 John chapter 5? Look to chapter 3, a couple pages back. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. Even if you sense in condemnation, God's greater than that. And he knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, a lot of believers and Christians throughout the world are like the first church of the wilderness who were released from Egypt. Were they not? But they had no confidence in God or any confidence in his word. They had no trust in the integrity of God. They had no faith in the supernatural intervention of God. And many Christians end up becoming unbelieving believers. There are people who lost their courage. They've lost their boldness, and they lost their belief system. Thank you for your overwhelming shouts. Amen. God bless you and hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, I didn't say you were like those Christians, but if you are, you don't want to do that. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14. You ready? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That means weaknesses. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come sheepishly, boldly, unto the throne of grace. You know what that actually means? You ready? The little translation means, come boldly to the throne of love gifts. Well, let me add a word here. Come boldly to the throne of dispersed love gifts. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we were. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of dispersed love gifts. I want you to see something here, because this irritates some people. This is a throne of grace, not a throne of judgment. So you shouldn't be embarrassed to go in there. That we may obtain mercy, if you missed it, and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that right? Now, because of the promise of Hebrews 4, we can make these confessions over ourselves with boldness and confidence, because it's the Word of God for your life. The Word of God is the will of God for me. The Word is the will of God for you. I am confident in my relationship with God. How many are? Amen. I am bold to walk in God's best for my life. Amen. How many are doing that? Yeah. Hebrews 11. This is life changing, I'm telling you right now. At least for two people. Me and Denny. Denny and I. Whatever. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 6. But blessed. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe. Not shall, must believe that he is. Say, must believe that he is. I know I've said this a lot of times. He is not I would if I could. He is I am. He is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm decreeing today you get back your confidence in God. No matter what you've done, you are confident that he rewards you. You are confident he gives you help. You are confident he sustains you in this life. And you are confident he supernaturally aids you with breakthroughs. Amen. Oh, no, Pastor, I've been waiting about 4 days for a breakthrough. 4 days. 4 days. Is that all? Hebrews 13. It's a wonderful church. Well, three people agreed. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. You there? Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with what such things as you have, for he hath said, I'll never leave you. Now he said content, not satisfied, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly, notice how many times it says boldly, say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Because if God before you, who can be against you? I don't want to mention this minister's name. He's a nice guy. I've been over to his church. He was talking about being out at Fort Worth for the convention. And he was going back to Cleveland. He actually has a church in Canton. But he, you know, Cleveland must have the airport they fly into. And anyway, he was saying that You get on this flight, and they heard it was going to be stormy and rocky and shaky and all those other things you really don't like to have when you're up in the air. You can't go nowhere. When they reached the 10,000-foot level, feet level or foot level, when they got up to 10,000 feet, it did start. The rambling, the shaking, and the stewardesses were even sitting in their seat. Now, this minister, he was scared. You know, he wanted to get back home to his family. He knew some people in that airplane. And when the pilot came over and says, "We're approaching our landing, in Cleveland," he was very relieved. And ironically, when they were getting out of the plane, the ones who knew him said, "Oh, I'm sure glad you were on this plane. We knew it wouldn't go down." He said, "Thank you." He was shaking in his boots too, you know what I mean? Hallelujah. I don't know why we threw that in there, but it fits somewhere. I'll have to look for that later where that fit in. "So that we boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me." Be bold to believe again. Some of you have lost that. Be bold to believe again. Say these affirmations over yourself. "I am bold to take him at his word," because he doesn't lie. "I am bold to trust him in every situation. I am bold to believe I win when the odds are stacked against me." Joshua chapter 1. You know, Mark 11, 23. If we're going to teach that, we better teach it like this. Saying three times to believing one time. Because that's what it says. Your saying has everything to do with it. You there in Joshua chapter 1? Look to verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whichsoever thou goest. For this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Keep that word meditate. We're going to talk about that a little later. "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." Who? Obviously with God's help, but you're meditating his word. "And then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage." I'll be the first to admit, church, this is awesome times we're living in now. I've almost cut out news altogether. People are praying for an awakening. People are praying for a revival, and you should do that. But I can't remember a time where there's been so much division and hatred in our country. Okay, I'll say that again. Some of you older than me, maybe you remember a time. I can't remember a time where there's been so much division and hatred. It doesn't matter who is residing in the office of the presidency, at least show respect for that man or woman. And don't be praying for his assassination. And the Bible does say the love of many shall wax cold. You're seeing it now, all over. Isn't that right? "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." You are not afraid. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Don't let fear dominate you. You know why? Because he gave you access to go before the throne of dispersed love gifts. You're not afraid because he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Condemnation is used, and condemnation will steal your confidence is the title, but condemnation will steal your progression in God. Condemnation holds you back from functioning in your divine purpose. And each one of us has a purpose and a plan that God has given us. Condemnation is an enemy to your prayer life. It'll make you feel like you don't deserve to go before there. I want to tell you something. The blood of Jesus gives you that access. There's no higher price than that. Condemnation is an enemy to your faith. Condemnation produces uncertainty and insecurities in your life. And once again, I've repeated this before, it'll rob you of your confidence in God. Get past your past. God's forgiven you. When you lack confidence, you refuse to take faith risks. You'll just stay in camp comfortable. You refuse to meet new people who may hold the answer to your next level. Condemnation is really not a tool that others use to defeat you. That's why I want you to get this. It's the greatest impact. Its greatest impact comes from self-application. You can become your own enemy. You're rebuking the devil, binding, loosing, purging, binding, loosing, then binding. And you're doing this all the while you're looking in the mirror, and in between binding and loosing, you're tearing yourself down. Well, you've got two people agreeing, the enemy and you. Yeah. And you wonder why you're in condemnation. We can become our own enemy. What others do has to be received by you in order for it to be effective. Don't receive it because you can't control what others do or say. That means you have a choice. So if a person dislikes you, there's no obligation to take their perspective as your own. If that's their perspective, that's their perspective, you know. It's not yours, right? That's a troubled Donald. He's going to burn himself out trying to put every brush fire out. Get the economy going. Get tax reform. Get health care. Infrastructure. Of course, it'd be nice if he had his own party behind it, but that's another story. Pray for politicians. They get 67 days off a year. For what? Well, Ken, I better be quiet. What others do has to be received by you in order to be effective. That means you have a choice. So if a person dislikes you, there's no obligation to take their perspective as your own. See, it really doesn't matter what others say about you, but it does matter what you say about yourself. That matters. That matters. I have never said it, that a student was dumb in school, because I don't like that word, but I have heard so many Christians say that about themselves. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Got to quit. Boy. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Mr. Denny. Well, you're paying attention, so I can tell. Verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. The purpose of reading this scripture is that we have a choice. We have a choice not to look in a mirror and bad rap ourselves. So if you've done something dumb, that's action. Just repent of it. If you've offended someone, go ask them to forgive you. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. God, I don't want to say God's cheating, but he's kind of helping you along. Man, he doesn't think we can do it right. So he says, choose life. Choose blessings. Right? God told you that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for telling us. Some people may not like how you talk, how you look, or whatever may be about you. You know what I mean? They just may not like it. You have the choice to receive it or reject it. But if you look in the mirror and start repeating condemning words to yourself that you've heard someone else say, you have taken ownership of it. Condemnation will cause you to doubt yourself. John chapter 3. You okay? You getting something out of this? Have you changed yet? John's Gospel, chapter 3. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Watch this. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, not why he sent him, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The biggest issue with condemnation is we judge ourselves unworthy. We criticize ourselves. We pronounce judgment on ourselves, and we declare ourselves unfit. Don't do that anymore. Romans 5. Verse 17, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came unto all men unto justification. Stop using your mouth against yourself. With your mouth, you authorize or detain your own success. Take your power back. Take your life back. Take your purpose back. Take your bulldozer back. Take your dream back, Bill. You meditate it until it becomes a part of you. An example is righteousness. Psalm 1. You okay? I'm enjoying this. Psalm chapter 1. Verse 1. This is so important. Get this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You better beware of the counsel you get and from whom it is. They're not counseling you with the word. It's not counsel. It's their opinions and views. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And so he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Yeah. Meditation is a Bible practice. All the others copied it from the Word. The Word is the original. The components of biblical meditation are these spiritual principles. The first one is verbalization. That simply means you confess the word with your mouth. The second principle is visualization. They really copied this one. You get a picture of the concept in your mind. Internalization is the third one. You see yourself in the picture enjoying the concept. Repetition is important. You continually revisit this concept over and over and over until it's manifested, or at least thank the Lord for it over and over. So what are we doing? Say it, see it, own it. Say it, see it, own it. Say it, see it, own it. Look at 1 John 5. We're winding down. It's 3:30 in the afternoon, so. Teasing. 1 John 5. And 4. 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Use your faith to overcome the world. Do like Jesus did in Matthew 4. It is written, overcome the devil. And in Galatians chapter 5, the Spirit of God helps you overcome the flesh. The flesh can be nasty. You know that, don't you? Don't allow condemnation to steal from you because you're an overcomer. Red seas can't stop you. You win. Lion's dens can't stop you. You win. Fiery furnace can't stop you. You win. Prisons and jails can't stop you. You win. Amen. Threats can't stop you. You win. Amen. Romans 8. Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Condemnation is under the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Condemnation is an adverse verdict, a judgment against you. The judgment was taken away by Jesus Christ. Condemnation is the product of the law of sin and death. But we walk under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of sin and death is gravity. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the law of lift. We win. Let's stand. And I like Lil. She's here. She got to be here. She around? Lil, she never misses. But I always have to ask Pastor Jack or someone else, was Lil in church today? Because she's so quiet.